Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. As South Dakota seeks to overcome challenges in workforce development and professional development, South Dakotans search for ways to further their knowledge and their careers. Now, the University of South Dakota is expanding its offering of professional development courses through its Community College for Sioux Falls. Linda Halliburton is Associate Dean of the USD Center for Professional Development, and she's joining us now in the SDPB Sioux Falls studios. Linda, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thank you, Lori. Glad to be here.
Also with us, Joel Sylvester. He serves as Chief Sales and Marketing Officer for Five Star Call Centers, and he's teaching an upcoming course through the Center for Professional Development. It's called Building a Five-Star Customer Service Plan. Joel, thanks for being here as well.
Thanks. Good to be here. Thank you.
Let's talk about this Center for Professional Development, Linda, and start with you because this is a fairly new organization. And it's kind of an exciting thing for a lot of people who are dealing with some of the challenges of just living in South Dakota and wanting to further your career here in South Dakota.
Exactly, exactly. So you are exactly right. So many people are excited about this opportunity. And this is really the evolution of professional development from USD. About 3 years ago, we started with offering some courses through the Beacom School of Business. And this is really kind of an expansion of President Gestring's vision of how do we bring the resources of the university to more people across the state. So even though we're primarily in Sioux Falls, really it's broader than that. It is the whole state.
How does that work? These courses can come to you? Can they be tailor-made? There's a list of sort of upcoming course events that you can participate in.
There are a variety of ways that it can work. So really the starting point or the entree, if you will, are the open enrollment courses that are offered here in Sioux Falls. What open enrollment means is anyone can sign up for the courses. They don't have to apply to the university. There's no admissions process. There's no financial aid process. Because they're 1 and 2 day courses, they don't offer any kind of college credit. So if a person wants to learn about a particular topic, all they have to do is sign up for it. So that's kind of what's happening in Sioux Falls. So oftentimes a company will attend one of these courses and they'll say, wow, this is really great. You know, it's more than just the 1 or 2 people who attended this class who can benefit. I've got more employees in my company who can benefit. Can you bring this to our site? And we can say, yes, we can bring it to your site, wherever your site might be. One example is a program that we did for POET just last year. Their learning and development professional learned about one of our courses, came and visited it, and said, can you customize this for us? So we took the basic course, we modified a few of the examples, we delivered it at the POET location here in Sioux Falls and a couple of other locations that they had, not only across South Dakota, but in Indiana and Iowa as well. So we really can take the learning wherever the learning are.
Yeah. So many times when you're in an organization, people are searching for ways to sort of do that organizational learning. And a lot of times the solution is somebody from out of state who's coming through to give a lecture and then they're gone. You can't really ask questions of them. You're not really sure how to apply it in your own organization. How important is it to have this sort of South Dakota-based learning and professional development model, do you think?
I think it's important for a number of different reasons. One of the reasons is if we think about needing to go to Minneapolis or fly to Chicago or someplace for our professional development, it's very, very expensive for a company. So you've got your registration fee that's expensive, you've got your time away from work, you've got the travel expenses. So a lot of companies see that investment and they're like, wow, I can't afford to do this. I know we need it, but I can't afford it. So being able to bring those opportunities here to Sioux Falls and make them available in Sioux Falls is very good for companies. The other point I want to bring up is that we do have a lot of experts in our community who are just looking for opportunities to share their wisdom. And in some cases, then they've been able to do that in other parts of the country. So Joel, as an example, teaches customer service not only in Sioux Falls, but he's sought after across the country. So as we looked for a local expert on customer service, Joel immediately came to mind.
And Joel Sylvester, let's bring you into the conversation because this is about building a five-star customer service plan, but I want to get to know you a little bit first. So tell us about five-star call centers first.
Sure. So we're a contact center. We assist companies all over the country that are looking to provide world-class customer care. So we have a couple centers here in South Dakota, one in North Sioux and then one in Sioux Falls. And then we also have centers in Fargo, North Dakota, Wichita, Kansas. So but really, you know, for me, I've worked with companies for the last 20 years on really building a world-class customer care. And as Linda had mentioned, I work with groups all over the country. country, it really is exciting to work with folks in South Dakota because I understand exactly how they can recruit, how they can train, how they can, put forth practices that are going to be maintained. And things need to be done a little bit differently in different parts of the country. But, you know, again, in this particular industry, customer service, there is such a thing as Midwest nice. And I think we are starting a little bit ahead of the game there versus maybe some people that are from other parts of the country. And so as I work with different organizations and talk to people, I love working with Midwesterners because there is just kind of that want to, you know, give that world-class customer care. And as I look at this course or a couple of the course offerings, these are things that are really digestible to a lot of different people, and they can come in and they can bring in their own questions and their own problems, what's worked, what hasn't worked, and they can walk out with very specific ideas and strategies that can immediately impact, you know, their customer service. I'm passionate about customer service. In today's world, it's one of the truly best ways to differentiate your product. Right. Technology is always going to try to be, you know, stolen or knocked off or whatever the case might be. But if you think about, you know, brands that you love or stores that you really are loyal to, it almost every time comes down to the way that you were treated, the way that that service was provided to you. And everyone's heard the great stories, right? But you've also heard the terrible stories. And I love to work with organizations to try to put in benchmarks to make sure that there's way more of those great stories than the unfortunate stories.
Right. And a lot of that is this training. And one of the things that I've noticed when you just go to a retail place, you know, in town, or you go to the grocery store, there are things that some of the new employees don't know how to do, pack groceries in a paper sack, you know, for example. And you think, what was their training? Because it's not that difficult of a skill. And they look at the paper sack like, I don't know how to handle this. And you think that's just, for them, that's confidence. For me, it's customer service. Yep. But for them, it's confidence and caring about their job and feeling competent on the job. Have we gotten away from training people? And that's a pretty entry-level example. But also, you promote someone to a manager because they're good at the job that they do, but they have no management training. That's one of the classic examples. Are people interested in a training like they used to be?
So, you know, having worked with a lot of organizations, we're all so busy, right? There's so many things you have to worry about. And so many companies, they have a security plan, right? What do you do with confidential information? You have a technology plan. What are we going to invest in technology? But very few people truly do focus on a customer service plan, that I think it's assumed that people know what to do. And that's really what my entire course is about, is identifying the type of people that you hire, right? What kind of attitude do they have? And is this something they want to do? You know, I sometimes get into organizations and they're the face of their organization, their front-facing team members are really not interested in providing customer service. And that's like the ultimate breaking point. And so it's a matter of making sure that you're choosing the right people for the job, giving them that very basic training, and giving them the tools to succeed. What I've found is people want to make customers happy, but if they don't have the tools to do it and they're not given specific instruction of how to make a connection, how to thank a customer, how to provide that service, they're going to go back to what they know. And you think of today, some of the major brands in this world, you know, Disney University, I've had the opportunity to attend some of their seminars and courses. You know, they're the happiest place on earth. That's all they have to focus on doing. Just do that. But you're happy. And Disney's definition of happy may be a little bit different. So it's a matter of really focusing down and showing exactly what that experience is. And what's so much fun is when you show someone what that experience is and they kind of get, you know, step one, step two, and they can be part of step three and four and five. It really comes to life for them. And I mean, not to get, you know, too broad here, but when they're providing that great service to those that they're working with, it actually overlaps. They start doing it in the community. They do it at home. They do it in other areas of their life. And I've heard dozens of stories of people that are like, well, my husband needs customer service class, right? Or wife, I'm not, you know, whatever.
My kids need customer service class. Yeah.
And they might. Yeah, my 7-year-old probably needs customer service class. And so obviously this is focused on business. And the other thing that really, and that I talk about is that there is a conflict of interest between people that manage people and people that manage customer experience. Because if a customer is upset and you're maybe taking that as an escalated experience, they're basically saying your team member didn't do the right things, which is saying you didn't train them right. I mean, you kind of started the conversation, you know, that way. So I look at organizations and I try to find where that conflict exists, that it, you know, the people that are responsible for customer experience need to really be a senior level person with the ability to make some decisions and put some things into place, or else it does get into a almost an us versus them type mentality. Sure. And there's a lot of very easy, very basic ways to build an organization where it's top down, but then also bottom up, where the customer experience is really that focus, and tie ROI to it. And once you start to see dollars coming in, then everybody in the organization, if anyone wasn't excited about it, everybody becomes excited about it.
How important is it for workforce development in hiring, in the sense that we live in a city and in a state where it's hard to find employees, and that affects businesses coming into the state, in the sense, let's talk a little bit about how this can help new businesses coming in. And Governor Noem in her State of the State address really talked about being a business-friendly organization. I want to start with you, Linda, and talk about just what this Center for Professional Development, how that can be part of the conversation for a new business coming into the state and saying, this is the kind of infrastructure that we have.
And I think that ties back to your question about, are people training their employees any longer? So as you know, with the unemployment rate in the state of South Dakota, a lot of our HR professionals are in recruit and select. You combine that with the fact that of the 7,000 employers in the Sioux Falls area, 94% of them have fewer than 500 employees. And that means they probably have 2 or maybe 3 HR people. So if those 2 or 3 HR people are focused on recruit and select, because our workforce is what it is, that means training really falls by the wayside. So as much as companies might want to train people, as much as HR people might want to train their new employees, is just not happening to the level that we need it to. And that speaks to kind of Joel's comments about the customer service training. Coupled with the fact that we really have not had a go-to training provider in our market, it really just kind of, it sidelines training for a lot of companies. So through the Center for Professional Development, our vision is to become that go-to place for training and development. So if a company says, you know, I really know that our employees need customer service training, or I know I want to provide a better training program for the employees, but I don't know how to do it. Or we just promoted people to supervisor, but we haven't given them the skills to be successful. And right now they're kind of like, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. So if we position the Center for Professional Development as the go-to place for training and development, when that company, when that HR person says, I've got new employees, I need to train them, I need to bring them up to speed, they'll contact us. Hopefully we'll be able to help them out. If not, we want to be able to say, you know what, here's another resource that might be a good fit for you.
Right. And some of the classes are equip your employees to perform their best and supervise for success, valuing diversity, creating an inclusive workplace practices. And Joel, let's talk about this 5-star customer service plan. Where do you begin? Because I've got a couple family members who are running their own businesses or who are managing places, not to out them, but they can be incredibly frustrated when they come to a new organization and realize nothing exists in the realm of customer service. They walk into your class, they say, I know I need this class. How do you start implementing something when you either have a toxic model or no model whatsoever, or an outdated model?
Yeah, we start by talking about the state of customer service in their industry, you know, and because industries are all a little bit different, whether it's a construction industry or manufacturer or retail shop. And that's always a really fun conversation, is to have that definition and what they're looking for. And then it really defines the attitude that they want as a company. What do they want to represent? What's important to them? What are their always and nevers? What's something that always needs to be done with every single customer? And what's something that can never ever be done with a customer. And then it's a matter of, it does start with the hiring process, right? Are you putting that round peg in a round hole or in a square hole, and finding someone who has the desire, you know, to be that customer facing type person. So there's all kinds of amazing technology available to do skills testing and find out if people are what their empathy level is, what their comfort level with problem solving is. Are they a doer? Are they going to do things quickly? Are they a digger? Are they going to dig into problems? So we talk a lot about that, is finding the right person to start with. What attitude do you want your company to really, you know, portray? And then you put the benchmarks in place, or the tent stakes in place, to make sure that from training through onboarding through that first customer interaction to ongoing, how is it measured, and how's it maintained? You know, today there's customer satisfaction scores today way more than ever. With social media, right? If you want to know what kind of service your customers are getting, it's not hard. Google yourself, right? Be prepared. But, you know, between all of the different Yelps, all the different TripAdvisors, regardless of whatever industry you're in, you can find out very quickly where you're doing great and where your ranking points are. Probably more than any other time in human history do you have that access, and then you can put things in place to continue to maintain that, see what you're doing. And I will tell you, those that provide great customer care very quickly go to the top in every industry, right? And it really does become a habit, right? That once that's what you're known for and you're on top of that hill, you know you need to keep, you know, doing that piece of it. And so it is a matter of, from onboarding to training to maintaining to measuring, and so on and so forth. There's also a component of generationally, you know, that a millennial may have a different idea of customer care, or how they want to be treated, than a traditionalist or a baby boomer or an Xer. So we talk a lot about that. And, you know, the golden rule has been around forever, but now there's the platinum rule, which is people want to be treated the way they want to be treated, not necessarily the way you want them to be treated. And which makes it harder for everybody in the industry, but is also, you have to have that understanding and look at, you know, someone that walks into your store that's of a certain generation or a certain age may want a different customer experience than someone that's of a different generation. And understanding that and having tools in place to serve everybody is what's going to separate a leading organization from one that maybe has some struggles.
It makes it fun to show up for work.
It does. I mean,
we've all worked, you know, in our lives at organizations that were just kind of a drag because they were internally broken, and organizations where everything's firing and you just feel good because you're going to learn that next thing, and customers are satisfied, and it's a good day to go to work. Yeah.
And that goes back to workforce development, right? The people, you know, and to Governor Noem's, you know, open for business, you know, mantra, that's really what it is a matter of, is putting people in a position to where they can be successful. They become successful, and then they turn into where they're the ones guiding these visions and values. And instead of being told what to do, it becomes part of the culture and part of them, and they're staying there and they're moving up. And you know, to Linda's point, that is something that South Dakota is committed to doing. And, you know, this is an amazing resource that helps that.
Yeah. We've been talking about the University of South Dakota Center for Professional Development, and that website is usd.edu/CPD, as in Center for Professional Development. You can see all the courses, and Joel Sylvester is with Five Star Call Centers. He's the Chief Sales and Marketing Officer, and his course is coming up on March 24th, and it's called Building a Five-Star Customer Service Plan, Design Your Customer Experience. Thank you both for being here. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.